Welcome to the Ortho Joe Podcast, a joint production of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and Ortho Evidence. Join hosts Mohit Bhandari and Mark Swankowski as they discuss current topics and publications in the world of orthopedics and beyond.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm a little bit early in this morning because of some snow we're finally getting here. And I understand you've been under the weather and may not have your coffee, but I have mine. And
a little bit of orange juice. That's all I got today. Yeah. It's supposed to help.
I think it does. Vitamin C and all. I'm a big fan of Linus Pauling. So I'm in the clinic about to start a session, and I have my mug that my staff got for me that really speaks to their opinion of me as far as a diagnostician and a physician in general. I don't know whether you can read that. It's probably, but it says
bone break me fix. I like that.
Fix.
Yes, so yes. Fundamental.
Very high opinion of my abilities as a physician.
Well, listen, we have a wonderful guest speaker, very experienced in an area that we don't get a chance to talk about a lot. Let me introduce, if I could, right off the bat, Linda Suleman, who is a Associate Dean for Diversity and Inclusion, also an Associate Professor of Orthopedic Surgery at Northwestern. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Linda.
Thank you for having me, Mo. I think it's an important topic, and it's a topic we really haven't discussed in the orthopedic space for many decades.
Yeah. So you've already given this hint that there's a topic of interest. So maybe I'll let you share a little bit about what drives you these days and ultimately how the journal can take a leadership role in that and what would be some of the ways we could do that. So we'll have that discussion, but tell us a little bit about what you've been working on and what's been driving some of your interests in the last little while.
Yeah, so we've really put together a health equity team at Northwestern, which is really multidisciplinary. And so, you know, I think, you know, me as an arthroplasty surgeon, when we see patients with hip and knee arthritis, you know, it's elective procedure. So that's where we can see a lot of those stark disparities because it's an elective choice, right? You have to be indicated for the surgery and then you have to be willing to undergo the surgery that's not limb threatening, right? And so over the last 20, 30 years, we've got a ton of papers published, including my own, about disparities, those stark differences. And despite us doing better surgery, innovative surgery, outpatient surgery, we're seeing really no change in the health inequities that exist in arthroplasty. And that comes from the beginning, right? Accessing the surgery in the first place, and then the postoperative outcomes. And a lot of what's sort of escalated, I would say, in the last few years is some of the policy mandates surrounding total joints. We've seen even further disparities around that. And so what I believe health equity in arthroplasty and honestly the broader life of orthopedics, because this really can be applied to trauma surgery, hand surgery, really any aspect of orthopedics, it really has to come from this collaborative 360 view. Our team is made up of nursing, social work, our medical social scientists, right? Our public health individuals. So there's so many aspects about the care of orthopedic patients that we sort of have to climb out of the lens of we're just here to do a surgery and that there's patients really in need and not accessing it.
And can you speak then from your perspective to what, I mean, I think most of us have always known about this. The fact that we're not going from, you know, talk to action, I think is the big difference. What for you in this series of studies you've done and the interactions you've had has been the most startling, I guess, finding for you? I mean, I'm sure there's lots of things that have been pretty surprising, but what's really surprised you about some of the health inequities that we're seeing?
Yeah, I think the hardest part for us as surgeons, if you are in this health equity space, is trying to figure out how can I help this patient to the best of my ability with the resources that I have? And I just don't think that we have, as an orthopedic community, given ourselves, you know, the recipe for success. And so a lot of our studies are community-based studies that are intervention-based, meaning, you know, collecting the information of social determinants of health, what I believe is like taking a vital sign on a patient. We ask for A1C, we ask for blood pressure. We want to know all the medical comorbidities that make a patient healthy enough to have surgery. You know, a lot of what we've published, that's the social determinants of health and the social risk, is actually more impactful than any medical aspect of a patient's care. So if you know this information going into surgery and you've got the right intervention and team to execute the needs of a patient, whether it's food insecurity, whether it's transportation to get to physical therapy, whether there's a language issue, which is one of the most impactful things that we've understood in interaction with patients. You know, what we're trying to figure out at Northwestern and what we tried to implement in our health system is how can we make this easy for physicians and less burdensome? And so innovation plays a huge role. We're looking at some AI capabilities. Right now, we've got a really robust social work entity. But what we're trying to figure out is, you know, every hospital system, that's not translatable, right? To hire 4, 5, 6 different people to handle the social aspects of a patient's care. So can we use AI and imploring that information in AI to execute the community relationships? So I think what's worked for us is, one, make it as easy as possible to collect this information and not using race as a surrogate for social risk. And then two is partnering with our community partners, which we've got a ton of here in Chicago, as far as when a patient is deemed at risk, if they can't get transportation, we've got PT gyms that will pick you up. We've got home health agencies willing to go to some of the most at-risk neighborhoods in Chicago, as well as from a language assistance and understanding process. Do we have, you know, sort of the whole 360 view of the family as well as the community-centered engagement?
Yeah, this work that you're doing, it really strikes home with me as a trauma surgeon. Way back in the 90s, we did a cohort study on patients with severe lower extremity injuries, limb salvage versus amputation, and turned out that the, as you point out, the social determinants of health, which is family structure, education, access to care, had a bigger role in the outcome than whether or not they had an amputation or limb salvage. And what you're talking about is so critically important. So you're talking about now at Northwestern how to mitigate these effects. Is there an issue with access to joint replacement as well? Based on these social determinants?
Yes, well, we got a FAIR grant from AUKUS last year because what we noticed is our federally qualified healthcare centers, which are these federally funded sort of primary care clinics where they see every type of problem. And one of the number one complaints are musculoskeletal, but they weren't getting referred to orthopedic surgeons. And there was this long period of non-operative management, despite really high level of radiographic evidence of hip and knee arthritis. There are some patients who've had hip surgery before, had not gotten an x-ray. So our AUKUS FAIR grant, we've allowed this partnership with one of the largest federally qualified healthcare centers in the state of Illinois that we've partnered with. And we've created this sort of screening tool. So some of the feedback we heard from primary care doctors is like, there's only so much I can do in 5-10 minutes, right? And they've got a list of problems. So if we can take the knee problem and the hip problem off of your schedule, because they're scoring in this range based off the text message, the functional scores, sort of like the PROMs that we're collecting on the front end. And we actually found that most patients were really responsive to a very simple, you know, 90-second text message questionnaire. And so it flags them and we get them into our clinic within 2 weeks. And so we're trying to increase the access by taking the burden off the primary care physician and getting them to a specialty physician.
If I could, with a follow-up, is insurance coverage a major issue in getting access to these clinics in the first place?
So interestingly enough, for us personally, as a tertiary care referral center, we take Medicaid. And so a lot of the federally qualified healthcare centers, is their primary insurance is Medicaid or Medicare. So we are able to, so that's how we were able to partner. But I know there's some Medicaid plans that are not within the FQHC that don't have access. And then we've also got a big county care insurance policy at our county hospital, Cook County Hospital. We do take that insurance, but it requires a referral. And then luckily, you know, our orthopedic team actually staffs Cook County. So there is some continuity of care if something's a little bit more complex to be sent downtown.
And I think you alluded to this a bit earlier too, Lynn, in our chat, but which is, you know, what can publishing and reporting aspects be improved? For example, at a journal level, what are some things we can be doing? Or if you're an investigator reporting on studies that have a cohort of patients, what kind of things can we be doing? Are there specific guidelines? Are there something that you're thinking of developing? Or like what's happening in that specific realm?
So when we look at most data, so we looked at the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons knee OA guidelines, just to what is the indication to do surgery.
Right.
If we pulled the 270 studies, seven reported race, right? And so we're asking our surgeons to follow guidelines to be translatable amongst the US, Canada population when it is not representative of said population. And so when we look at other studies that do report, they are using race as that surrogate. So they're collecting demographic information, which I think is important, but not a surrogate for social risk. And so when we look at studies, if every study is saying Black and Latinx patients do poorly, it sort of creates this innate biasing message as surgeons, like, do I really want to operate on this patient? Because these studies are telling me they're going to have longer length of stay, they're going to go to a rehab facility, and we're not going to get reimbursed for that. And so where I would like to go, and where we have this collaborative group of arthroplasty surgeons, we're trying to figure out what are the best practices in research. And I think we haven't quite gotten to the final, you know, best practices guideline, but some of the things we've discussed and have brought up is, one, can we start reporting social determinants of health? It's going to be mandated reporting in 2025. So if we're already going to be collecting this data, we should be reporting that data as part of our studies. And if not, you know, if you're not collecting the iterations of social determinants of health, can you give us an area deprivation index or an SVI, social vulnerability index, which is a very easy score to be calculated based off the CDC. So those two scores measure a little bit differently depending on what area you're in. If you're in a very segregated area, ADI is a good way to report social risk because the zip code based, and it's a very homogenous zip code. But if you're in a more rural setting, you may want to look at SVI, which look at sort of the structural and social needs of each household. So I'd like for us to move forward. Like, if you're not going to collect the entire array of social determinants of health, can we at least start reporting ADI and SVI in the majority of our papers?
Oh, that's great.
And just sorry to interrupt, Mo, but just to be clear for our listening audience, the list of social determinants of health would be education level, income, social structure. Do you live with a family, et cetera? What else? What can you just list it?
Yeah, food insecurity being one of them, transportation, income, education level, who actually lives in your household, language status. So those are the major ones that we collect that you can come up with the SVI score.
Thanks for that. Sorry, Mo, for interrupting.
Oh, that's great. So what's in 2025? We've just started the year. I suspect you've got lots of big plans, Linda, traveling the world or speaking this. What's coming up for you next that you're excited about?
Well, I'm leaving in 8 hours to Tanzania today.
There we go.
So we are headed out for Women's Orthopedic Global Outreach. It's our all-female Operation Walk team. So there's 10 surgeons. We'll be doing about 60 to 70 knee replacements over the next sort of week and a half. And, you know, this is first for us. We're actually bringing a guest surgeon from Ethiopia, Dr. Bezawit Tezge, who just finished her training in the UK and is really starting a trauma and arthroplasty practice. And so we're excited to not only collaborate with the in-country surgeons, but started creating a long-term partnership in East Africa, where I'm originally from.
Oh, lovely. That's superb.
Are you going to Muambili? Where?
I'm going to Arusha.
Ah, Arusha.
Children's Medical Center. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. I spent a number of months at KCMC next door in Moshi a long time ago. But sorry for that. That's a great center where you're going. Fantastic. Well, I'll stop interrupting.
No, I was just going to say my next 8 hours is paperwork and meetings. So I have nothing exciting to tell you there, Linda. But listen, let me thank you so much for taking a bit of time, especially on a travel day. Both Mark and I know sort of the hustle and bustle of getting organized for travel. But I think you've raised, and I hope you'll continue to raise and grow this community of awareness. We'll do our best as well and touch base with you again about how we can, as a journal, be far more proactive than reactive to the issue of equity. So thank you so much for taking time with us and wishing you all the best as you get on a plane for a relatively short flight, I imagine, right? Short flight.
Short 19 hours of travel there, Mo.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for everything.
Awesome. Thank you both for having me.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.